Name is Dr. Jared Cooney Horvath. I'm a former teacher turned cognitive neuroscientist who focuses on human learning. So a sad fact our generation has to face is this. Our kids are less cognitively capable than we were at their age. Since we've been standardizing and measuring cognitive development since the late 1800s, every generation has outperformed their parents. And that's exactly what we want. We want sharper kids. And the reason for this largely has been school. Each generation spends more time in school. We use school to develop our cognition. Congratulations, you see your correlation. Until Gen Z is the first generation in modern history to underperform us on basically every cognitive measure we have, from basic attention to memory to literacy to numeracy to executive functioning to even general IQ.
Really sad.
Even though they go to more school than we did. So why? What happened? What happened around 2010 that decoupled schooling from cognitive development? It can't be school. Schools basically look the same. It can't be biology. This hasn't had enough time to change. The answer appears to be the tools we are using within schools to drive that learning. Across 80 countries, as Gene was just saying, if you look at the data, once countries adopt digital technology widely in schools, performance goes down significantly, to the point where kids who use computers about 5 hours per day in school for learning purposes will score over 2/3 of a standard deviation less than kids.
Holy shit, 2/3 of a standard deviation? Oh my God, that's huge. Jesus Christ.
Kids who rarely or never touch tech at school. And that's across 80 countries. Bring it home to the U.S. Let's go to the U.S. We have our NAEP. That's our big data. Take any state. And here's a fun experiment you can try. Take any state NAEP data. Compare that to when that state adopted one-to-one technology widely and watch what happens. The NAEP data will plateau and then start to drop. Now, as
I truly recommend Stolen Focus by Johan Hari. Amazing book in the whole issue. Yeah. I don't know. I really do think all of this is going to be incredibly obvious in hindsight. If you cut through all the discourse and the bullshit and the whining, 50 years from now, people are going to be like, yeah, no shit, the little box that destroys your attention span makes you stupid. Yeah, obviously letting students keep the thing that is designed by the smartest tech people in the world to steal their attention and money and make them spend all their time on it, that was obviously going to hurt their ability to, like, pay attention in school. No shit, you know?
Dean said, of course, this is all correlative. What we really want is causative. To get causation, what you need is academic research and you need mechanisms, explanations for why we're seeing what we're seeing. Luckily, we have academic research stretching back to 19...
So millennials are the smartest? Yes. Yeah. We have lots of data on that. Millennials are the smartest, the most left-leaning. On a bunch of metrics for intellectual and social performance, millennials are sitting quite pretty. Yeah.
62 that shows the exact same story for 60 years. When tech enters education, learning goes down. In fact, one of the biggest ed psychologists right now, Dylan William out of the UK, recently said, ed tech is a revolution that's been coming for 60 years. And we're going to have to wait another 60 because
I mean, the screens don't help, but let's not pretend our educational system and standards haven't devolved over the past 20 to 30 years of underfunding. Oh, for sure. 100. Yeah, absolutely. Though I think, honestly, I think it has less to do with the funding than it does the fact that we can't fail anyone. The No Child Left Behind stuff. I curcanually do not understand what the point of education is if when you fail, you go ahead anyway. What is the point of the grades? I don't get it. It's not the funding. I actually think it's less about the funding than it is the motive to keep the funding. Not failing kids. Like, I think that you get worse outcomes because a lot of these kids know there's no consequences to underperforming, so they don't even try. Like, that's actually worse than the lack of funding that you would get by failing them, which is not great. Also, just no one believes in school anymore because everyone thinks it's a scam, which it is, you know? If there's no collective faith in the social value of self-betterment and, like, you don't think it'll get you a better job or whatever, what's the point of being educated? You know, it's not like we're teaching kids a philosophical motivation for education. The line for decades has been like, you need to go to school to get a job. Well, if the job market sucks anyway, and you don't need a high school education to run a cashier, then what's the point? You know, I don't have a problem with computers in school. There should probably be a computer class. I have a problem with phones in school. Like, computers are fine. A school computer is fine. You can do work on that. Yeah. But you'd like phones should not be allowed in school, like, at all. Not even like in the backpack, like shouldn't be allowed in the building, basically. Just it's just like a cognito hazard. It just obliterates your ability. There's no rule you could implement that would not just cause kids to circumvent it. You know what I mean? People like kids will fake needing to use the restroom to go be on their phone to text their friends. They will literally miss the class and sit in the bathroom stall to use their phone. You can't like it's you just can't let them have access to that at a jammer. They need to put a Faraday cage around the school. I'm only half joking. It's really, really, really bad. How could you enforce that? I don't know. Everyone's shit gets searched. If you get caught like with a phone in class, it leads to like an actual grade deduction. I don't know. It has to be taken seriously. I'm sure there are some ways you could nuance it out. But it's morally necessary. Ohio has this as a law already. Yeah, and they're going to fucking mog the rest of the country pretty soon unless we do something to catch up, you know? You want to be beaten by Ohio?
Doing anything. Now that's research, but now we need mechanisms. Luckily, over the last about 2 decades, we've been doing a lot of work in what we call the science of learning. How do human beings learn? And we now have the clear understanding of why tech does not work for learning, and it is all biological. It's not that the tech isn't being used well enough, we haven't been trained enough, we need better programs. It's we have evolved biologically to learn from other human beings, not from screens. And screens circumvent that process. I won't go too deeply into the mechanisms, they can get boring, but just know they're there if you want to talk about them. So that leaves us with two options. Option one.
It's largely true. There's so much stuff online that is designed to make you feel productive for consuming it, but you learn nothing. Duolingo is a great example. There are so many people who have spent so much time on Duolingo, and it rewards you with the blips and the bleeps. You learn nothing. How many edutainment videos have you watched in the past week that you have no memory of? How many videos have you watched that have given you like novel education on history or on finance or on infrastructure or whatever else? And it's just like, oh, ha, interesting. Wow, I'm smarter now. But then you forget a week later. Real learning takes effort. Everything good in life takes effort. There is no way around that because effort, like cognitively, effort expended is the process by which you encode memory. There is no way to learn effortlessly. There's no way to learn, and you watch the stuff and it's, oh, how interesting, whatever. You might learn a couple of tidbits, but to really understand and know something, especially something important like, you know, the shit they're teaching you in grade school, right? There has to be effort. There's no way to streamline it. You can't gamify it. There's no way to fix, like, work around that. What you have to do is make it engaging in a way that still requires effort. You have to challenge people. It's a lot like exercise, right? There is no way to benefit from exercise without challenging yourself. If you want to get stronger, if you want to get bigger, if you want to have more endurance, progressive overload. It doesn't matter what kind of exercise or what your goal is. Progressive overload. You try and you try until it hurts a bit, not like injury hurt. You know what I mean? Like your takes effort, right? And you keep at it. And that's the only way. There's no way around it. There's no easy way of doing an exercise. There's no way to do it. And you're like, oh, well, you know, I don't have to spend that effort. I can just spend a bit more time or whatever else. No.
When you know something is wrong, do better. So we could just say, hey, mea culpa, get some of this tech out of schools, go back to what we know works, some analog methods. Cool. Or two, we could redefine our terms. We could redefine what it means to be an effective learner.
To failure,
I want to
yeah.
end
You
with
have
one
to be
quick story here.
uncomfortable.
Think back to your childhood, to your schooling. I guarantee all of us at one point took a test on reading comprehension. And the way it looked is this. Here's a passage of about 750 words. Here are 10 to 12 questions about that passage. Most of them are inferential, not factual. They're asking you to go beyond what you just read to see what you understood. Cool. Last year, the SATs had a reading comprehension section. Here's what it looked like. Here is a single sentence of 75 words. Here is one question fact-based about that sentence. Next. Here is another sentence of 75 words. Here is one question about that sentence. Next. Last year, they redefined reading comprehension to mean 54 short sentences with one question about each. That is skimming. That's not reading. Why would we ever do that? Because what do kids.
That's fucking insane, dude. Even the SATs? 10 years from now, kids are going to be like, yeah, I got a 1600 on the SATs. I found the round peg went in the round hole, the square peg went in the square hole. Didn't mix them up once.
Kids do on computers. They skim. So rather than determining what do we want our children to do and gearing education towards that, We are redefining education to better suit the tool.
I recently became my 16-year-old nephew's learning coach for online high school. It is astonishing how few critical thinking skills he has. Any answer where he has to actually reply in his own words to a question, he just rephrases the question for an answer. He had a meltdown. He was supposed to do a project where he had to make 2 to 3 slides at any Renaissance painter. He didn't even know how to start, despite just doing an entire until on the fucking Renaissance. Something until the entire Renaissance. Yeah, I understand the gist of what you're saying. Because I can read. Dude, maybe... Unit. Gotcha, unit. I probably shouldn't have made so many jokes about me being illiterate. Now that the widespread literacy crisis is a big deal, and anytime I say anything about it, people are going to say, like, well, you're illiterate, you know? I don't know. It's pretty... Yeah, I'm mogging the youth, for sure. Gen Alpha has nothing on me. Whew. It's really rough. This is so sad. Yeah, again, it's one of those things you take for granted, you know? It's kind of like, I don't know. It's like recommending an exercise routine to people where you assume that everyone has basic motor cognition and can walk. And then realizing one day, like, oh my God, 60% of my class actually can't walk. Like, they have to crawl. And then you're like, well, what the fuck? I don't even know how to teach that. How do you, like, I don't even know how to do that.
That's not progress, that is surrender. So as we go through our discussion today, there's gonna be a lot of talk about smartphones and
by the way, like, this made me less mad at people online because it's occurred to me, and it didn't occur to me before, a lot of the people online who get mad at you genuinely don't know what you said. Like, if I have a take, text or verbal, and then people get mad at me, and I'm like, wait, do they not, like, the way they're mad at me doesn't even, like, correspond to the thing that I said. Now I know, like, there is a very real, especially if they're young, like, if they're, just a young internet user, just less than 20 or whatever, there's, like, a 50-50 chance they actually do not understand what I said, and they're engaging with it the only way they know how. Like, they're doing a surface level reading, which is largely inaccurate, and they're responding to that. Elites want this to happen so they can fill the gap with AI. Oh, I bet. Oh, I don't. 100%. I bet. Yeah. This explains so much about chat. I mean, I'm not saying everyone in chat who argues with me is doing that, but there are people who have. And I guess that I'm deriving from it, I guess, is if you're in that boat, you have to keep trying. Never, please, do not let yourself get complacent or get, like, embarrassed or angry when you feel you're not able to read something and you just accept the level that you're at, okay? You have to try harder. There's no point in your life where it becomes impossible for you to do that. There's always a chance for you to do it. So please try, okay? You have to try. You can't give up on you.
Social media, rightly so. But I'm the voice here to remind you that even in schools, it doesn't matter what the size of the screen is.
You do often say things in very stupid ways that can reasonably be interpreted as shit takes. Hey, Cats on Meth, aren't you the person who 2 hours and 20 minutes ago opened stream by saying that I have shit self-help takes? It sounds to me like you could benefit from a few of those myself. Or yourself. Is it possible that you're still acting out like an indignation, you know? What do they call that? What's that thing? How some people just reflexively defy authority no matter what? What's it called? It's oppositional defiant disorder. That's it. Wait, holy shit, I'm on the money. You've been here a while, Cats on Meth. This is false. You don't have to be uncomfortable. No, you can't be comfortable all the time. You have to be uncomfortable for growth. It's not all contrarianism. Vosh, you don't get $43 every 6 seconds. Come on. You don't know what I'm worth. I would ban for a week if I hadn't misspoke, but the aura loss that I incurred when I mixed my words up deprived me of the momentum that I needed.
A phone, if it's a laptop, if it's a desktop, and it doesn't matter who bought it. Is it school sanctioned? Does it have the word education stamped on it? It doesn't matter. All of these things are also going to hurt learning, which in turn are going to hurt our kids' cognitive development right at the time when we need our kids to be sharper than we are. So thank you guys so much for today. I look forward to talking with y'all.
He stuttered, ban evaded. Yeah, sometimes that's how it works, right? I don't know. It's a very serious issue. We all need to get much more ableist. Fast. We have to get very ableist very quickly. If you can't read Charles Dickens, they double your taxes. That doesn't sound too bad.